Okay, Robert, we are finally there. We have now produced our web page. We know why we've done it. We know who we work with. We know how we work. We've gotten our services. We've got case studies to tell people how wonderful we are. We've told them how to contact us. We got the home page. We got the free stuff. Now I got to work with a designer. Oh,
right.
God. How do I find them? How do I work with them? How do I get them to do what I want them to do instead of what they want to do?
Okay, so I'll give you a big picture of it. Now, you should probably have most of your website content in either in a text editor or maybe it's in a Word document. There's a few little technical things. You know what a curly quote is versus a straight quote?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sort of the curly quotation marks or apostrophe, that
right.
kind of thing. Sometimes in Word, unfortunately, take that and you copy it and put it into HTML, it creates what are called junk characters. So if you go into Word and turn off the curly quotes, which I can't explain how to do, but learn how to do that, and so you have as clean text as possible, or you do it in a text editor, like Notepad. You write everything that way. So that helps in giving this to your... to your designer. So that's the first thing you want to do. Get it all together, make sure it's all written, edited, finalized, you're happy with it, you know what you're saying. Everything is there, from the headlines to the introductory paragraphs to the content to the call to actions, and you know where every link goes to. Then you contact the web designer. Before I do that, I want to tell you sort of a few important things about design that you've got to watch out for. Now, here's a very funny thing. One of the mysteries of the universe is that people know what they like and don't like on other people's websites. They know they don't like Flash. They know they don't like hard-to-read navigation. They know they don't like all these bells and whistles. And then the website designer puts all these bells and whistles on their site, and they love it on their site.
Why is that?
Because they're looking from the wrong point of view. See, I can create anything for you. Now it's yours. Now you love it. It's just terrible. You have to look at your website like a visitor, not like an owner. Because you're not the owner that's buying from you. It's the visitors that are buying from you. So you want to look at sites that you like, that are easy to navigate, that are easy to read. You know, I go to many websites these days, literally the text is unreadable because it's in four-point type. Why the designer put it in that, I have no idea. Oh, small text looks so cool, it shows you're more sophisticated. Balderdash, not true. You have to have the type that's readable. You don't
Especially
want...
for those of us that are over 50.
Exactly, you know. All these things are very important, so you don't want a lot of fancy bells and whistles and nonsense on your site. You just don't want that kind of thing. You want it very simple. You know, Java applets that have little text scrolling across the screen. I mean, it's so cool. You just want it. It's useless. Look, about the only thing that I'm willing to give some ground on is the little rollovers when you go over the navigation button
mm-hmm.
and they change color. That's okay. But that's the only thing you really need that's very technical on your website.
So it sounds to me...
You don't want things moving in your heading. You don't want images morphing into each other. Then people go, oh, that's cool, and they don't read your message.
Yeah, I was on a site the other day, and I kept trying to read the copy, and something kept moving up above, and my eyes literally kept going up to it every time it moved, and then I'd go back, no, where was I?
If you haven't moved, it moves once and stops and doesn't continue moving. You know, I did a little GIF animation, and someone said, the sun rises about a quarter of an inch, then it stops. That's cute. Nothing more than that. If it kept rising over and over again, not good.
Right.
Make sense? So you see all these distracting things that are look cool, but they do not help you.
So it doesn't sound like when you're shopping for a web designer that you necessarily need to look and find somebody that's got the newest, best,
no,
and brightest.
No, you don't. You want them to be able to do good basic HTML design and have a good graphic sense. and be able to take pictures and images and stuff and put them on the site so they look really pretty and nice. And you don't have to have the highest end, most beautiful site for the site to be effective. My site is very simple. I've got a top navigation bar, I've got a side navigation bar, I've got a color theme so that when you go to a link on the top, the side navigation is the same color. I have my picture and pictures of other people in there between the top navigation and the side navigation. I have my logo on the top. That's my design. It's very simple and clean. And yet some of the designs that I did with Diane Varner, we designed several sites. She is an incredible designer. She makes everything as a work of art, and yet the text is very easy to read. It's very easy to get into as well. So it's nice to have something that looks more sophisticated, but it's not absolutely necessary to get good results from your site. On the other hand, you don't want something that's so plain that the navigation buttons are all just in plain text. There isn't a graphic to be seen. There's no color. It's just all black and white. It's just, you know, it's so drab that it doesn't attract the eye at all. You think of the design as the frame for the text. You want to have a good frame on your picture, but you're not buying the frame. You're buying the picture. And in our case, the picture is the text.
What about a lot of sites you go to and you have a lot of different columns? You've got a column on the right where there are scrolling endorsements, and then in the center you've got some stuff, and then on the left you've got some navigation up at the top.
Yeah.
It's really kind of...
Too busy.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can have some of that. I mean, sometimes a good design is you've got top navigation, side navigation on the left, and on the right you have this white space, and in that white space they've taken a testimonial quote and made it as a graphic, and every page you go to there's a new graphic, but it's not overly busy, and you can just say, oh, there's the testimonial quote, and in the middle of the page, the center of the page, headline, opening paragraph, and copy. With enough white space around everything, that's another thing I see, is that you have everything's so crowded that the text is literally touching the navigation bar, and it has this constricted look. It's hard for me to look at and read a page like that. So someone has to have what's called a good eye. And you know what? There's a lot of designers out there, web designers, I don't know what percentage, too high a percentage, that can construct a website but cannot design. And it's a big problem because you don't really have a design eye as well, and they end up doing a site that really isn't very attractive.
But if we look at, if we go to a web designer's site, usually they've got some examples. So if we look and see, this person has kind of an aesthetic that we appreciate and like.
Yes.
Then
as long as they're willing to work with
our copy.
Yes.
Then we're probably going to be in the right ballpark. We just need to find somebody
that's got a design
like.
Yeah, and you want to find a designer that also ideally works with small businesses, not corporations or big businesses.
Why is that?
Well, one thing, they'll charge you a hell of a lot more. You know, I talked to someone, oh, my website only cost me $20,000, and I gagged, you know, and it was terrible. It was just terrible. It was all design, no content, black background, white text. It was a piece of garbage. $20,000? So there's a lot of that stuff. Light backgrounds, dark text.
Well,
give us
a ballpark figure. Since we're gonna develop all the copy for people, and
yes.
we're gonna keep this relatively simple, the first one, and we're
yes.
talking about, you know, 8 to 10 pages or so, and
yep.
and some fairly
what's it
simple
cost?
Graphic. Yeah, what's this? What's
for
a ballpark?
A website this large, $1,500 to $5,000. Now, that is a pretty broad thing, but if someone has a lot more graphics experience and you like those graphics and you want to have a different graphic on every page, that's going to cost you more. If someone doesn't do as much of that and they have sort of standard graphics they can use, but still they can make them somewhat unique, but they can do it more quickly, then it's going to cost you less.
Now, what about this is...
And the prices, you know, you can get a fabulous site for $1,500 and a piece of junk for $5,000. So that's why you should always look at several, and you should probably get some opinions of people. You know, one person in my marketing action group had created all his web text, and he said, here are 5 web designers, what do you think? And we all looked at him, and we gave him some feedback, and some I said, this one, nice colors, et cetera, this guy does not know how to design. I could tell in a second. And some people, just can't tell that. They don't have the distinction. And when I point it out, they go, oh, I see what you're saying now. There's no white space. The graphics are kind of choppy, blah, 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 you know?
Right. Well, what about one of my pet peeves is that when I had a designer do my first site, and then I did my second site with FrontPage. And
right.
What I hated about it was I was pretty clunky at doing it, and I think to most people it probably looked like a FrontPage site.
Right.
But what I liked about it was that I could make adjustments, changes, tweaks,
yes.
and so forth
yes.
as we go. And when I had a designer do it, every time I called him, the meter started running.
Yes.
And so what ended up happening is I'd have stale copy on my site. I'd have
yes.
I think I even changed.
Well, Bill,
my
there's a solution to that.
Yes. What is that?
There's a very exciting solution, and there's a few different solutions. Some website designers will set you up with a special kind of template, which you can go in and make changes yourself. The other thing is a large percentage of websites these days are designed in Dreamweaver. That's the Macromedia product, sort of the web standard. And Macromedia has a new product, fairly new, called Contribute. And what you do is you get a copy of Contribute, you, the owner of the website, and it costs like $150 as opposed to $700 for Dreamweaver, so it doesn't cost very much. And it enables you to go to your site, download the page you want to change, make the changes without screwing up any of the important parts, make the changes, click the button, and upload it to the server.
Okay,
so when you
perfect.
When you hire a designer, say, I want to make changes and use Contribute to make the changes, can you do that? And if they say, well, we don't like anyone to be able to touch their design afterwards, after all, then you say, thank you very much, and you find somebody else.
Right.
Because the ability to make changes on your site is very important. Now, you might need someone to help you with some of the things. Like if on my site, instead of regular text headlines, I have headlines that are made as graphics. And those, or you can make them bolder, more colorful. They just work better. They look nicer than a text headline. And Contribute doesn't give you the ability to create text headlines or other graphics. But if you say, I want a headline in our basic style that says this, you know, I personally literally can create a headline like that in less than 5 minutes. So if they say, oh, that's about an hour's work and blah, 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 they're scamming you, let me tell you. Basic, simple graphics like that, like headlines, only take minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might have a minimum charge, a minimum of $10, $20, $15 per major change. That's okay. But it's not going to make you broke in the process.
So
and then you can learn the basic formatting and bolding and headlining and all of that kind of stuff. You can manage that yourself.
So are you saying that if I'm going to use this Contribute, then one of the criteria I'm looking for is a web designer that uses Dreamweaver?
That's the best, although I believe it can be used with other platforms, but Dreamweaver is probably the best. There's not too many top designers that use FrontPage. FrontPage, I feel, is more of a program for do-it-yourselfers. Although it really has lots of stuff, lots of bells and whistles, you can do amazing things with it, but it is still not easy to use. You know, you can have all the tools in the world. Does that mean you can build a house?
Right.
You can have the best, most high-tech, laser leveling thing. Doesn't mean you know how to use it. I learned how to do website learning HTML from a book.
Oh, my God.
I bought a book, said how to learn HTML in a week. So I said, okay, and I had to do it. I wanted to do it. I was committed. I read that book. I did it. I did the exercise. I sweated blood to learn how to do that. And then programs came along, the WYSIWYG programs that enable you, what you see is what you get. And I learned how to do that. I learned how to do basic graphics in Photoshop and Fireworks. Very simple once you learn it. And now I can do pretty much anything I want. It's pretty straightforward. But I have a good eye. I had a lot of experience in design before I designed websites. I've seen people that design their own site that just look so bad, you just feel sorry for them. But they feel very proud about it because they did it. They have the owner eye, not the customer eye.
Right.
So unless you know you're already a designer and you're willing to put in a heck of a lot of time, I wouldn't recommend doing it yourself. Or, you know, another way to do it is there's a lot of art students around that have a good eye and have learned to use a lot of these programs and will do your site at a very reasonable cost. Just take a lot of searching around. They're not the most reliable. They might disappear on you. That's why you want to be able to take control of the site and use Contribute. But, you know, look around. You might be able to find a good deal if you're willing to spend some serious time shopping.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get a really good professional at a decent price, it is a very good investment.
So what about navigation? Some
I want to add one other thing. I have worked with 40, 50 clients working on exactly what we've worked on through this program. Everything that I've told you, this is exactly the words I've told them. In fact, I probably even told you and made available even in more detail with the printed material and the examples that any client I've ever worked with. So for the price of this program, the low, amazing price of this program, people have got $1,500 to $2,500 in value. This is what it would take if you worked with a consultant to create this. So take that money, put that into the web design. That is good money spent.
Okay. So what about navigation? You have that as a separate bullet point here, so I assume it must be pretty important.
Yeah. The key thing is that people know where to go on the site, and they know how to link properly. So you can place, you have your basic navigation bar. Sometimes it'll go across the top horizontally, sometimes the left side vertically. That's the most common one. And it's important that you put them in the right order. And guess what? I recommend that you put them in the order in which we talked about, except you take the last two and put them on the top. So you have home page, free stuff, who we work with, how we work, services, programs, case studies about us, and contact us. So that gives you eight basic sections. Then on some pages, like the services page, the case study page, the free stuff page, you might have sub-navigation in which you have, so if you had navigation at the top, then you have side navigation so you can get to the other parts. If you had main navigation across the left, then you put the sub-navigation across the top.
So do you recommend that every page keeps, because sometimes you lose those navigation bars on some pages.
All the basic top-level navigation needs to be on every single page of the site always, or you'll get lost. But if you look at my site, I have top navigation that has five major things, and then I have sub-navigation. Now, my site is a little bit more complicated than the sites I've given to you here. So, because most people don't have the volume of material that I have to begin with. Later on, if you add more material and you use this basic strategy, you can add sub-navigation and have more stuff in different sections. So I have some of the, anyway, I won't get into that. They can look at the site. But the key thing is in navigation is make sure people never get lost. Get someone lost, they get frustrated, they go somewhere else. Very simple. So simple, intuitive navigation, easy words to read. There's a nifty little thing in web design. It's called mystery meat navigation. You know what that is?
Mm-mm.
It's sort of like, you know, you're at the deli counter at Yosemite, and they have some kind of meat there covered with some gravy, you know, and what's that? Well, that's the mystery meat of the day, you know, and it's a bit like that with the navigation. We want to be really cool, so we won't put names on the navigation buttons. We'll just have symbols.
Oh, I hate that.
And maybe, just maybe, if you're lucky, if we roll the mouse over it, then the word will pop up.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone who gets this thing is the coolest thing since sliced bread, and every visitor wants to kill you.
Right.
So you don't have that. You make it simple. It's intuitive. You know, free stuff is pretty obvious. Don't come up with clever, cutesy phrases that nobody can understand. So use these basic kind of phrases, contact us, about us, case studies, success
stories. I think what happens to a lot of designers and a lot of people building web pages is they feel like what they have to do to be different is to create a different look, feel, design, something. And
sometimes that works.
But it seems to me that the heart and soul of what you're saying is that what makes you different is the content.
Yeah.
Period.
Exactly.
You know, everything else simply is supporting the content.
Yeah.
And
that doesn't mean you can't have high quality, sophisticated design that looks really sharp. You can. I have no problem with that whatsoever. But form follows function, not the other way around. The function is for people to read, understand, and respond. And in fact, I have a link in the resources section to a site called Web Pages That Suck.
You better not have mine on there.
No, I won't have. No, it's not my web pages. It's an actual site. It says you can learn about good design by seeing bad design. So you see all this bad design, you'll learn a lot of mistakes. You'll avoid a lot of things. So that's a really good little resource to look at all these bad sites. I'll send you to the good sites, but you might want to look at those. So you want to avoid all these things that make it harder to navigate, harder to get around. Another thing about links and navigation is some people think, well, since I can link, you know, I can just take a word and then I can create a link to anywhere else on my site or anywhere on the web. You read a web page and there's 27 links on the home page. I mean, that's just crazy. Basically what you're saying, don't stay here, go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to use links on your site very sparingly. You know, one at the bottom that says to go to the next page. You might have one or two links for some things, but don't overdo it. You really want people to stay on that page, read that page, get the information from that page, then go to the next page. Although you can do amazing things, you don't need to do it. You know, probably about the fanciest thing I suggest is the thing that you do, putting in little audio testimonials, audio clips with Flash Audio, which someone will have to help you produce. I have a few on those on my site. Can really work well, but it really is within the purpose of the site, because that flash audio or flash presentation directly relates to the information you just read on the site, and it just goes into it deeper or gives a testimonial. That's appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
One thing you have to watch for, if I didn't mention it, is flash movies that open the site. You go to the site, and all these letters swirl around and move and flash and colors, and it's beautiful. And people are tapping their fingers and go, when is this going to end?
Yeah.
I want to see what these people
have
to sell.
I'm always looking for the exit button.
You know, and 27 minutes later, it's over, and, you know, you've gone somewhere else. Often it will say, skip flash movie, click, and then you're to the homepage. My suggestion is don't even put the flash movie. There is no evidence in all this testing that helps your site one iota. It does not increase sales.
Well,
it reduces more often than not.
The thing that's always stunning to me about most of those flash movies or music or any of that stuff that comes on is it does not seem to be tied very well to the marketing message.
It's hard to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be done.
Yeah.
I've seen some that are really quick and fast, and it just gives you an initial flash. And you can actually program your website so that it puts a cookie on your site, recognizes you. If you come back, it doesn't go to that page. It goes right to the main page.
Oh, that makes sense.
You can do that kind of thing. So every time you go to this page, it always has the flash opening. That's tiresome.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had sites that I went to regularly. I had to create a link to the second page, so I went to it automatically because I didn't want to go through all of that.
Right.
So don't make people jump through hoops. Don't make people think. And
that would be a good book.
Well, it
Don't
is a book.
Don't make me think.
There is a book called that, Don't Make Me Think, and it's all about website design, and some people might find it quite useful. So when you're working with a web designer, the more you understand about this, the more good samples that you've seen, the more bad samples that you've seen that you don't want to emulate, the better idea you have about basic, you know, I like my navigation on the left. I like these kind of buttons. I really like this basic kind of color. I like this kind of font. If you know all of that, a good web designer should be thrilled, because then they can go about doing the things they do best, and they don't have to keep second-guessing you or asking you what's on this page or what this is. and you're a great client to work with, and it's really going to go fast. So really educate yourself and study this part and understand it, and try to avoid some of those pitfalls, and you're going to have a much better site. Now, I want to talk about one more thing, and we've touched on it, but it's pretty brief. It's called Most Wanted Response. I learned this from Ken Evoy, who I really learned a lot about website development from, in a product called Make Your Site Sell, which is a pretty amazing product as well, which I also have a link for in the resource section if you want to get into even deeper than we've gotten here. But in Most Wanted Response is you simply ask yourself, at any given point on any given page of my site, what do I want them to do next? What's the response that's ideal? See, the response that we want, ideally, is we want people to go to our site, click a couple buttons, call us, and offer us $1 million. That's what
good.
We want. Is I'll, that going to happen?
I'll go for that. No.
Probably not going to happen. So you think, well, I'm going to go for someone calling and wanting to use my service, so I'm going to have enough information that it leads them through so that they would know enough to pick up the phone and say, this sounds great, let's take the next step. And I got my site to that place where people were doing that all the time, and they're still doing it through the marketing action groups. But usually the first response you want on a website is capture that information so that you continue to market to them forever until they opt out of your e-zine. So that's extraordinarily important. You offer that free bait. You direct people to that free stuff immediately. See, a lot of people don't get that, and they sort of hide their free stuff, and they wonder why no one's signing up for the e-zine. Well, I do have a link on page 3 that says to sign up for the e-zine, but there's no link from the homepage. Well, on my homepage, I want to really hard sell the services, so they go to my service page and call me. Not going to happen most of the time. So it's a realistic understanding of how people interact with websites, where they go, what they do. They want that free stuff. Give it to them. Then direct them back to the site. They'll read more things. And ultimately, over a period of time, they will respond to you. So, few last things. To accomplish all of this, in terms of tone and approach, make it personalized. Talk directly in a conversational tone to the person reading. Use the word you throughout. You know, you have this problem, you have this issue, you want to accomplish this, as if you're talking to one person on your site, not thousands. And really make it address the needs and concerns and frustrations of your readers so they can relate your message to their situation. Throughout, every paragraph, every word, every headline needs to do that. Offer hope that you can address those concerns and frustrations successfully by offering the benefits and advantages you do. So throughout, the case studies, the testimonials, the services, everything, it's not just here's what we got, here's what we've got that will give you this. Always hold out hope. Show them that you are the savior on the horizon that can make a difference. And you don't have to go over the top to do that. Just make sure that's repeated throughout the site. And then finally, tell them what they need to do to get those benefits, but by providing continuous calls to action to go to the next page, to sign up for this, to fill out the form. So there's never a question about what to do. It's never a battle to find your phone number or a form. They can always respond to you very, very easily. If you look at most websites, they don't do those four things. They miss them entirely, and that's the essence of what it takes to make your site successful. And to the degree that a site does that, you're going to have a successful site, and you're going to have great results. Not tomorrow, stick with it, and you're going to have results in the long term. I have one more thing. I'm looking through my notes here. That's web page statistics.
Oh, yeah, the stat programs.
You know, I've talked all about updating your site and the bad things in your site and navigation, but the final little thing is it's kind of nice to know where people have gone on your site. And there's a nice little program called WebStat, and I have the link again in the resources. And you go to WebStat, and they give you a little tiny piece of code, and you go to your website, and you place it at the bottom of the page in the HTML, and it's invisible.
In every single page?
Every single page of your site. And then you should really pay a lot of attention for the first year. Keep it, you know, might want not want to use it for after a year. It costs, I don't know, $12, $15 a month to use it, but it's money well spent. Because if you real, oh, everybody's, I think they're going here on my site. How do you know unless you go? So every day it will show you exactly where everyone has gone on every single page of your site. And it will show you the path that they've gone. Well, first they go to the website, the home page. Then they do go to the sign-up page. Then about 50% of them go here. And then they go to the landing page here. But nobody goes to that page. Why is that? Well, if I added this call to action on the home page, would more people go there? So you put it in, and then you send out your e-zine the next week, or you look over the next month, and you see, oh, more people are going there now. That's good. That's exactly what I did to discover what to do and what order to put things in. So I figured out a lot of this stuff already, but it's fascinating to know how many people are coming to your site, how long they're staying on your site, what they're doing when they reach it, what's the page that they leave on your site. And all of that can give you some really amazing insights that can help you make changes that will increase the results. You change a form, you change a graphic, you change a headline, and things start happening. So web page stats are really, really useful, especially to begin with.
Right.
So with that, give you the final action plan for the design. So you read this complete section, you visit some of the sample sites. It's a really good idea if you have a very good sense of, I really like this kind of site. You can actually show that site to your designer, I really like that. Can't copy it directly or plagiarize it, but you can give the basic sense of it, and it can help them price it and everything. And then once you've got those sites and the basic ideas of what you want, start searching for a designer. Look at their portfolios. Talk to them about your site. They should ask you a lot of good questions, Bill. You know, if they're just, you might not have someone that's so on the ball. Someone that knows, wants to know about your business is, and interested in what you're trying to accomplish with your site is very important. And then show them the web guidelines and say, is this okay with you? And then you'll really have a partnership with somebody. Once you've got a few quotes and you've selected someone, hire someone and have them give you a timeline. Say, how long is this going to take from beginning to end? And be specific about it, not vague. Oh, we usually kind of get a website done in, 1 to 6 months is not a good answer. But if you have all the copy ready, with our schedule, we can start in 3 weeks, and from beginning to end take 6 weeks, whatever it is. You know, that kind of thing is reasonable. The very final thing is you have to be responsible for managing the process of getting your site designed. You're the executive producer. You're not the director, so to speak, because the director is kind of the designer that's doing all the stuff and putting it all together. But you want to have them send you a home page and have you look at it, and then you sign off on it. Or you say, I don't like that, change that, let's try it. And then get it until the home page is flat, and then that's the template for pretty much all the other pages. Then one page at a time, sign off on all the pages, and don't settle for good enough. But also, don't settle. Don't go for ultimate perfection, because there's no such thing. You know, you can spend 5 hours moving one pixel and say, well, it needs to be a 1/16 of an inch here. They won't notice that kind of thing. So don't drive the designer crazy. Be an easy person to work with. Nevertheless, stand for what you want. You've got to find a balance there. If you do all of that, you're going to have a great site that you're proud of that's going to make a big difference in your business.
Well, Robert, I would just like to thank you on behalf of all of the info marketers out there, all of the independent professionals who are struggling to get a web page done. I really feel like what you've created here and this step-by-step process really does make it sound easy. So,
I want to thank you for doing a great job of interviewing me and bringing all this stuff out. I think we've come up with a great program, and I certainly hope that if you're listening to this, you've got to this point. Hopefully you've produced some results and things are rolling for you. So I want to wish you the very best luck for everyone that has the program, very best luck in creating a great website for yourself. So thank you, and Adios, until next time.